American woman. It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
Socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, and water. What it means is that government controls it through rules and regulations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
Under this guise of bipartisanship and nonpartisanship, it's actually tapped down the truth.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
On an equal field in the battle of ideas, mistruths or misconceptions, and it is getting us into a world of hurt.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation, and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Thank you so much for joining us. Each of you are treasured, you're valued, you have purpose, live with intention. Strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. And thank you to the team that I get to work with. Producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. Producer Steve, it is Monday. I hope you had a happy Father's Day.
I did, but we probably could have talked about that without saying happy Monday.
Well, you and I got to do something fun this weekend. You and your lovely wife, Delinda, and I all were out at Castlegate Knife and Tool for their Dad Appreciation Day. That was beer, brats, and blades. My bratwurst was delicious, and I did a little shopping out there. What'd you think of the store?
I was glad to get to see that place because I've only seen the pictures on the website, but that building, I mean, Sedalia is not, it's not like...
It's not a metropolis.
Yeah, and it's not new like where you live, a new city that didn't exist 100 years ago.
Right.
City, town. So the bank, or the building that he's in is originally, I guess, a bank.
It was the bank.
And then it became the post office, and then they built a new post office, and now it's Hal's place.
Yeah, it is. That's Castlegate Knife and Tool. Very impressed with the selection as well. You too?
Oh, yeah. And actually, I guess I was chasing him around. He was back in his office. And I said, okay, Castlegate Knife and Tool, where are the tools? Because the building is old and it's kind of subdivided.
Mm-hmm.
And he escorted me to the tool room. So
so be sure and check that out. That's castlegate.com. Great sponsors of the show. Another great sponsor is Hooters Restaurants. They have five locations. That's Loveland, Westminster, Aurora, Lone Tree, and Colorado Springs. Great place to get together with friends. They have all kinds of specials and to-go specials as well. And you can also have things delivered. The girls are coming over on Wednesday night, so I will be getting some of those smoked wings, which are half the calories, because everybody's watching their figure, Steve.
The one time I came to that Wednesday night gig, I learned a lesson. Make sure you're not cutting the line because of those blasted wings.
We have rules for sure. So check out my website and go to my sponsors tab. I highly recommend each and every one of them. And click on the Hooters tab. It'll have all their specials. Saturday's Kids Eat Free. So be sure and check that out. Let's see, America's Veteran Stories. There is something, Steve, you and I have not had a chance to talk about this, but Paula Sarles sent this over. And there is a memorial service this Saturday. I will not be able to make it. I have another commitment. It's at 10 a.m. at Mountain View Memorial Park in Boulder. And this is for a young man who died on Tarawa. In 1943, they found his body. Sergeant Donald DeLoy Stoddard, United States Marine Corps, World War II. He survived the Battle of Guadalcanal, only to be killed in the battle at Tarawa on November 22, 1943. He was buried there with many others, and his remains were identified in April of 2020, and he is coming home to his final resting place. Paula says he has one nephew, but they don't know for sure if he'll be able to attend. And so they're reaching out to the family of veterans, but that would be something I think really important to do. If I was not already committed, I would be there, Steve.
You're being committed?
No.
I'm sorry.
Ha ha.
No, let's not let that overrun the solemn nature of what you're talking about here.
Yeah, and again, that will be 10 o'clock this Saturday at the Mountain View Memorial Park in Boulder. And certainly this young man gave his life for our country, and that would be great if you could make that. As you know, we look at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Socialism ultimately comes down to force, and it's never compassionate to take other people's rights, their property, their freedom or livelihood. I'm going to add in here privacy, okay? Our lists keep growing via force, whether with a weapon, policy, unpredictable and excessive taxation, coercion. The latest silent thief is government-induced inflation. If something's a good idea, you should not have to use force to do that. And I'm adding privacy in there because, Steve, as you know, I've had internet speed challenges. And I have been working on that. We had a new line laid, and we're going to have a technician come out this afternoon. And as I was booking the appointment, I would surmise that probably the customer service person was not based in the United States. Very helpful, though. Very helpful. And as we were completing the booking for the appointment for the technician to come out, the customer service person asked if anybody in my household had tested positive for COVID. And I said politely that I don't really think that that's any of their business. But we are seeing privacy under attack here, big time. And in fact, that goes to one of the headlines here, that the state health department here in Colorado is going to start calling people who aren't vaccinated. And it says, this is from, 9 News. And how does this work out with the HIPAA rules? Remember when you would go in to sign in to the doctors and you had to sign your name in, and they would cover all the names up before you so that you couldn't see who was there? Now your medical history is being shared with people that are going to call up other people and kind of gently coerce them to get this experimental drug that hasn't even been approved by the FDA. It's pretty remarkable, Steve.
You know, Patty, our researcher, she's a smart cookie, and I'm sure that's her comment there regarding how does this fit in with HIPAA.
Exactly.
But when I, first opened it up this morning and started reading it, I just got this, this sinking feeling. It's like we are so tired of this.
And some people are just finally getting the vaccine because it's like, just leave me alone. Just leave me alone. Okay, I'll get it. You know?
Well, I in our pre-call that we do every morning, I am not medically qualified enough to be able to speak about things like this on the air, but I'm just still convinced.
It's never stopped Fauci.
Well, that's true. Good point. But when you get paid over $600,000 a year, he can say whatever he wants. Again, I'm just not sure that people in certain places have a full understanding of what the vaccine really does, how vaccines work, have worked over the last 100 years. I'm just not sure that we're connecting the dots properly, and this kind of stuff kind of bears it out.
I wonder, that's going to the next headline there, the CU Regents. We had Chance Hill on last week. And he brought forward a resolution that said that CU students and staff would not be mandated to have to get the vaccination. And that was voted down. And I have to wonder if, in fact, many of these institutions and businesses that are mandating and saying that you have to have the vaccine if you're going to go to school or if you're going to do business, I am wondering, because this thing is still not approved by the FDA, I'm wondering if there's going to possibly be some lawsuits that will be coming forth regarding the forcing of people to get this vaccine in order to be employed or go to school, because we still don't know all the side effects on this baby yet.
I'm going to go out on a limb. I can't help myself. But getting that vaccine, the way vaccines have worked in my mind is mitigates or lessens the impact on me should I contract the virus. But what does it have to do with anything else?
Okay, right. So we go back to the freedom versus force. If, in fact, People want to get the vaccine. That's fine.
Exactly.
But there's a lot of coercion going on. And in fact, somebody very close to me said, I want to travel and I don't want to mess with it, so I'm going to get the vaccine. And so they're not looking at it as this is for my health. It's because of coercion.
Yeah, I'll do it. Leave me alone. But mm-hmm. again, you brought up the FDA a while ago, and I keep asking, where are they? They're missing an action on this. And if there's a reason for their delay, what is it? Come forth with a statement for the public is saying, okay, we are doing X, Y, and Z through our normal protocols. But I don't hear anything coming from them.
We don't hear a word. And I'm sure that they're trying to speed this up. And, of course, we see all kinds of coercion going on within government agencies as well. So let's go to our quote for today, though. I thought this was pretty darn interesting. This is by T.S. Eliot, who is a poet, essayist, publisher, playwright, literary critic, and editor. He was considered one of the 20th century's major poets. He was born in 1888. He died in 1965. And he said, the tendency of liberals is to create bodies of men and women of all classes, detached from tradition, alienated from religion, and susceptible to mass suggestion, also known as mob rule. And a mob will be no less a mob if it is well fed, well clothed, well housed, and well disciplined. What do you think of that, Steve?
I think, I know Patty's listening, and I would challenge her to come up, educate me as to what the word is when something like this is said decades ago in the last millennial, and still has so much application to what's going down today. I mean, I just fell out of my chair when I read this.
It's human nature.
Oh, there you go.
But, you know, when we talk about a living wage, and the left says everybody deserves the word deserves instead of earn. But it says a mob is a mob, whether or not it is well-fed, well-clothed, well-housed, or well-disciplined. So interesting. One other thing I wanted to just mention regarding CU. Now, kids didn't go to school really last year much. And interestingly, the CU regents have approved their budget and they've increased their tuition. And you can see this really makes it difficult for middle-class people to educate their children. Because, and you see these rates are going up, and you see kids taking out loans to pay this. And it says there are four new tuition tiers under this new structure. And the base rate for students in arts and humanities, social sciences, programs in exploratory studies, education, and music is $11,040. The tier two tuition is $12,816, applies to students in media, communication, and environmental design programs. The Tier 3 tuition for Engineering and Natural Sciences is $14,592. And the Tier 4 tuition for business students will be $16,512. The system is lowering tuition for music students. It's increasing tuition for environmental design students and increasing tuition from natural sciences students as well. It says the tiered system is expected to generate $6.9 million. 1.2 of that will be invested into financial aid. So they're charging some people more so they can give other people financial aid, picking winners and losers. And it leaves an additional $5.7 million in annual revenue for the university to continue to indoctrinate our children to not like America. So, and you have to get a forced vaccination to do it as well. So let's go to break. We're going to talk with Kevin Lundberg. Stay tuned.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. That music was The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. And we're going to be talking with the former state senator, Kevin Lundberg. He is also the executive director of the Republican Study Committee, about the good, the bad, and the ugly of this last legislative session. Kevin, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me on. It's always a privilege and a pleasure to be with you, even though we don't have pleasurable stuff to talk about.
So there wasn't much good, was there?
No, there wasn't much good. This was, in some ways, I'd say this was the ugliest session I've ever seen. And, you know, comparing that to the last 2 years, that's saying quite a bit. But as I review all of the bills that they've passed and all of the bills that they killed, I can't find a whole lot of good to talk about. I found one bill, and forgive me if I get a little bit if it gets a little bit complicated here, because I identified about 75. Let's lay the groundwork here. There were over 600 bills introduced, which is about average, okay. And what was not most of those bills passed, and a much higher percentage. I don't have the precise, but a much higher percentage than normal. And that's that shows that the leadership really had full control of the process. You know, there wasn't a whole lot of give and take. There was just whatever they dished out passed and went on to the governor. And so far, the governor has signed all of the bad stuff and vetoed a couple of bills that were not that bad, actually. You know, but there was one bill that I found that I could say, well, this is a good bill that passed that really made a difference. And forgive me, I'm struggling to find the thing right now.
Well, while you're looking for that, Kevin, I would really recommend that people go to Kevin Lundberg. That's LUNDBERG.com. And if you're at your computer, go to that and then click on the Lundberg Report. And you've got, I think you've got all these bills here that you've really taken a look at, which is tremendous amount of work.
Yeah, and that's a very good thing to point out, that throughout the entire session, every week I've been trying to track what's been coming up and the process of it, and it's really quite a daunting task to follow them all through and then show it. And actually, on my website, under the Lundberg Legislative Report, you can go back to the back issues and kind of follow the process if you're really short of sleep at night. But the last couple of reports, I've tried to pull it all together and to give just a brief description and a link, because these bills, you've got to dig deep to find all of the ugly stuff. And I just give kind of a snapshot on brief. And what I've prepared today for our talk here is I've boiled it down into 9 separate categories, because to get your arms, you know, when you get in the weeds, it really does get complicated. But here are the major areas that I see have really gone south as far as public policy here in Colorado. Issues concerning the Second Amendment. They've turned the state into a sanctuary state and fortified that. That means illegal aliens are not only welcomed, but they're made legal. And sometimes they're made more legal than those of us who are citizens. Election issues. There are a lot of election issues.
Just a question on that, as you're talking about this, Kevin. There is a real assault on our Second Amendment rights. And when we say that this is bad public policy, what we're talking about is the limiting of freedom and also how this hurts everyday people. But I wonder what they would do if an illegal alien hasn't done a safe storage for their firearm. I wonder how that's going to work out, right?
Yeah, that's exactly the point. I mean, they bend over backwards to make things as, you know, for example, they set up a legal defense fund for illegal aliens to deal with their illegality. I mean, there's one thing to provide a public defender when you're in criminal law, but there's another thing to set up the system, you know, to try to smooth the process out as much as possible if you broke the law by coming into this country illegally. And then here's another one, you know, under the illegal alien side, there was one bill that was passed that set up that said if you go for a certification or of a licensure for the state of Colorado, and that could be anything from a hunting license to a license to be a doctor or a real estate agent or something like that, the state cannot determine your legal status when granting these certifications and licenses. So, I mean, this is just beyond belief.
Okay, totally, and Kevin, just a note on that. Okay, so they cannot ask your status on that, and I don't know if you heard the first segment here, but I'm going to have a technician come out to check my internet this afternoon, and they asked me whether or not anybody in my household had tested positive for COVID. Can you believe they can ask that, but can't ask status when you're getting a license? It's astounding to me.
Yeah. And by the way, what we're talking about today is not bills. It's bills that have been passed.
These
Some
are laws
are still
now.
Sitting on the governor's desk.
Yeah.
Well, they're pretty close, if not laws. The final step, and the governor actually has 30 days for the bills that are still on the table when the session ends, to determine, is he going to pass it, is he going to veto it, or sign it, or just allow it to become law without his signature. But judging from his pattern in the past, any of these things that are really bad ideas, he's going to make sure that they become laws for the state of Colorado. Anyway, let me go down this list really fast.
Okay.
Second Amendment, sacrilegious policies, election issues, issues concerning life, you know, taxes and Tabor, Green New Deal, medical issues, property rights, business issues.
Wow.
Those are the big categories, and that comprises most of the bad bills. There are a lot of outliers, too, like one I didn't deal with, which I think is just kind of a stupid bad law, is they're prohibiting mascots, a lot of mascots for schools, you know, saying that if it mentions Indians in any ways, in any way, that the school has to get rid of that mascot, you know, and so they got a lot of little troublesome ones that kind of don't fit into any major category. But when you look at the categories, you realize they are fundamentally changing the policies in the state of Colorado. Oh, and another thing to bear in mind, not all of these bills become effective. They become law, but some of them have an implementation date or this part of the bill doesn't go into effect until a year or two down the road.
After the next election cycle.
Yes, that's exactly the point, is it kicks in after the governor gets reelected, or at least that's his hope.
Obviously, if it's a good piece of legislation, then you're not going. They know that there's negative effects. They know that people aren't going to like it, and yet so they put it into place. But they wait till after the next election cycle because people are busy. They're not paying attention, and that's why we do this show. That's why you do the Lundberg Report, is so that people can understand what's going on.
Yeah. That's precisely it. Now in the next, you know, I talk about these new categories because it was that I just had the bills listed by chronologically as they came out. And that's about all you can do at the front end. But now that the dust is starting to settle, I want people to sit down. You know, I want landlords, people who have properties that they rent out, I want them to realize just how bad it's going to be. And so under business issues, several of the bills deal with how they're changing the process and the, you know, all the procedures for renting a property to somebody. Or here's another one. I mentioned life because when it comes to the government's policies towards the very important issue of protecting the unborn, well, the state of Colorado actually has, you might say, a war on the unborn. And Here's one. One of the bills that has passed, and it's kind of a hard one to tease out the details on this one, but it fully funds Planned Parenthood. I mean, fully funds Planned Parenthood, but it doesn't do it with government funds, because anything related to abortion is prohibited. And so the bill even talks about that, and it makes you think, okay, well, they're not dealing with abortion. But if you look at it more in detail, here's what it does, is it sets up this system where family planning services, and you can read Planned Parenthood right in the middle of family planning services, will be paid for by all medical insurance policies before deductibles or any copays. So they set up all of these, and the way the bill reads is it's preventative medical services. That's what they're requiring medical policies to now fully fund before deductibles and before copays. But they also fold in this category called family planning services. And then they go beyond that and they say, and it doesn't matter who's providing the family planning services or whether it's in network or out of network for the insurance company, that insurance company is obligated to pay for everything. And as I read that, I see it plastered all over that. You go into an abortion and have an abortion, and now the government will require that it be fully paid for. And then it goes a step beyond that. And it says that if there are any medical complications related to the family planning services provided, that will fall in that same category. So sometimes you got to really, okay, you have to dig deep.
What is that bill number?
While you're looking for that, Kevin,
I just want to make a comment that this whole abortion narrative here in America, many, many women have had abortions. And as Christians, we need to wrap our arms around people. I think there's a tremendous amount of hurt because I think there's a tremendous amount of lies that's going on about that. But I think a few generations from now, we're going to look back, and abortion for our generation is what slavery was back in the when we had slavery in America. I think that they're both just terrible, terrible issues that we're having to deal with, and we need to continue to wrap truth around this issue and not the lies of Planned Parenthood. And what was that bill number?
It's Senate Bill 16. And Kim, I'm so glad that you put it within that context, because yes, this is a very sensitive issue that a great deal of compassion needs to be put in place. But first, you've got to put the realistic principle that we're dealing with human life, not with
tissue,
something less than that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. But it's Senate Bill 16, and as I say, you look at the title, and it looks like fairly innocuous. It's even though it's going to drive up medical costs. That's another thing. This is a budget buster once again for medical insurance premiums, but folded in there, and I'm only scratching the surface on that bill.
Okay.
Believe me, there's a lot we could talk on.
And just one other thing on that. Let's just really think about that, if I'm understanding this correctly. Is it this bill, Senate Bill 2116, so the year 21, and then Senate Bill 16, is saying that you have to fully fund and you have to pay for family planning services before a deductible, before a copay. Am I hearing that correctly?
That is correct.
But if you have cancer, that's not the case, right? This is all around family planning. So if you have cancer, you do have your deductible and you do have your copays, right?
Yes. Now it does deal with some cancer screening, but you're right. Once you get the disease, once the real medical costs kick in, the way medical insurance systems work today, you're pretty much on your own until it's thousands and thousands of dollars into it. But Yes.
Not here. Okay.
You are absolutely correct.
Okay. Yes. Hey, Kevin, I know that we have you for three segments because we knew that this was going to go fast. We're going to go to break. I've got Kevin Lundberg on the line. He is the author of the Lundberg Report. He is a former state senator as well as the executive director for the Republican Study Committee. And he's giving us a rundown on many of the bills out there. But when we come back from break, Kevin, I do want to stop. And Jenna Griswold did something remarkable, and that's not in a great way, this last week, and do want to ask you about that. So let's stay tuned. We'll get that update regarding the Secretary of State and what she did, and then continue on with these bills. We'll be right back with Kevin Lundberg.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to each and every one of you who contribute to keep our independent voice on the air as we look at these issues through that lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Kevin Lundberg, when I look at what this legislature did, as well as this governor, they're acting like they may never have to really be accountable again at the voting booth. I mean, it was with abandon that they proposed and passed legislation that hurts everyday hardworking people. And something remarkable happened last week with the Colorado Secretary of State. We mentioned it, but she issued an emergency rule prohibiting any third party from having any access to all voting equipment in Colorado. And so basically it seems like she doesn't want anybody to take a look for the people to assure that we have free and fair elections here. I thought this was a really remarkable move. You too?
Well, yeah, and you know what is what struck me at first. The first question that came to my mind is, can she do that?
I know.
Does she have the authority to actually? And as I looked at it, within her announcement, they say, well, yes, she cited a portion of law that gave her the authority, supposedly. So I looked it up. I thought, you know, maybe there's some special rule where the Secretary of State can declare that all election equipment cannot be viewed by citizens, which is essentially what it says. And the section of law she cites as authority is just the general rulemaking procedure for the state of Colorado. And so I looked at it, and first off, she really doesn't have the authority to make this emergency rule. There's nothing in law that really talks on this. And if there was, she would just remind us that that's what it is.
Right. But, good point.
This is it's an emergency rule, which means she doesn't go through the standard process of hearings and, you know, proper notification. No, this is a slam it down right now to say no one dare look at any of the equipment. Now, I don't really see a whole lot of enforcement on it, other than she says that the equipment will no longer be certified if it is looked at. Well, I don't think that's going to decertify everything in the state. So I'm hoping some county clerk reads it carefully and says, well, I couldn't care less what she says. Maybe this one piece of equipment will become invalid, but it still needs to be open and available for the people of Colorado to know what their election equipment is doing.
Okay, and this falls under, Kevin, my understanding, and I may not have the terminology quite correct, but the voting machines, I guess there's kind of like an upgrade or an update or something, and if that occurs, then it could we would not see what the history is for this last election. And my understanding is those updates, upgrades, whatever it is, are not supposed to occur for 25 months per federal law. Again, this is all my understanding. And but actually Griswold is going in and they've got a calendar where they're going in and upgrading these machines, and that would erase that history or wouldn't be able to get to that history. And so there have been those that are concerned about that and are working to try to figure this out. And so I just wonder, if there's no there, then why is she doing this? So this is a big red flag. And our elections are so important, and we can see that with what happened down at the State House. So continue on, Kevin Lundberg.
Well, you're quite correct. And what it is an upgrade of the software for the Dominion machines, which most Colorado counties do use. And you must understand that the election equipment is not just simple optical readers and then a spreadsheet that these numbers go on. Now there are literally millions of lines of software code hammered into these mechanisms, and that's the real question that a lot of people have. And in other states, there's some real serious examination of this. And some people here in Colorado are saying, well, we need to look at what we've got running and rolling here too. It really makes you wonder, what have they got to hide? And you know, her argument is, well, we shouldn't be talking about these things. Well, excuse me, we should be. When people are concerned about the integrity of their election process, you would think that if it's such a good gold standard, as they call it, that they would be, they meaning Griswold and all the county clerks, would be more than anxious to open it all up and to be very transparent and say, look, you know, tell us where the problem is, because there are no problems. Mm-hmm. Well, instead, we get this emergency order that says, you dare not look at this because now it's illegal, according to the Queen of Colorado, the Secretary of State.
It is remarkable. And that's why I'm just a little shocked at all of this bad legislation. And when I say bad legislation, it takes away people's freedoms. It hurts their pocketbooks. It makes life more expensive. It makes it more difficult for them to own their property. When we talk about bad public policy, that's what's happening. So what's the next thing that people should know, Kevin Lundberg?
Well, again, you put it very well, that this is going to affect them in every aspect of their life. And they should look at the facts and figure out how it's going to impact them. You know, for example, let's say you've got a small rental property, and I mentioned this a little bit earlier, but there have been some significant changes made to how you we'll have to manage that. And you may need, you know, I had one friend of mine who has a couple of houses in Denver, and Denver has even gone a step further in requiring that all rental properties be licensed with the city and that they be thoroughly inspected on a regular basis. And he told me, and you know, to his knowledge, he has nothing to hide on the thing, but he says it's just too much trouble. It's too much bureaucratic involvement, and he is literally going to get rid of his properties in Denver as rentals. You know, he said, maybe I'll keep them as a house for my kids to live in, but I'm not going to rent them out after all these rules kick into place. Well, people need to dig deep into these issues, and this is why I'm trying to break this into separate categories so you can understand. If you're a businessman, here are some business issues that you need to pay attention to. If it's property rights, here it is. If it's Second Amendment, I suppose we ought to spend a little bit of time on some of the particulars. And Second Amendment is something that impacts almost everybody in one way or another. I can't cover it all I counted it up. There were over 40 bad bills that dropped into these categories that are, I should call them bad laws, because that's what they are or are about to become.
Well, let's talk just a little bit about the Second Amendment. They're making it more difficult for law-abiding citizens to have their firearms, to have their firearms to protect themselves. So here we have government representatives, politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties that are making it more difficult for everyday regular people to have their firearms to protect themselves, but yet they're also passing policies that are making our communities more dangerous. So you take away the right for people to protect themselves, while on the other side, putting forth policies that increase crime, makes our communities less safe. That's a pretty scary thing. When it comes right down to it, fundamentally, people need to be able to protect themselves.
Right. Right. And so let me give you the details here to an extent. There were five bills that I identified. The first one, House Bill 1106, and the governor signed it, so this one is law now, requires you to lock up your firearms if a juvenile may be present in your home. And that doesn't mean living in the home. That means if you let somebody in and they're a juvenile, your firearms have to be locked up. They have to be in such a way that you can't use them immediately. Well, why do you have firearms in your home? For protection and or storage. And if it's just storage, you know, some people have a lot of their guns in a big, heavy safe. That's fantastic. But if you believe that you need some defense in your home, you need access to it. Well, the governor and the legislature has now said, nope, that's going to be illegal. And so I contend that it's either disarmed any citizen that has a gun, or it's made them a criminal because they refuse to lock them up in such a fashion.
So if the bad guy's at your door with a gun, obviously his is not locked up, and he is at your door, and you may have juveniles in your house, and you have to basically say, hold on just a minute, I'll be right back, I need to just go get my firearm to protect my family. But he has a gun. And so how is it that the bad guy has the gun and the good guy doesn't? And again, public policy
Yeah, that's the point. They have disarmed you in your own home. I mean, this is beyond belief, really, when you really take it apart. And look at the mechanics of what will occur. And this is on top of that red flag bill that they passed last year, I believe it was, which says that you can have your guns taken away from you and you never broke any law. And it's done behind, you're not even aware of this legal process or procedure until it's fact and the police show up at your door and say, we want your guns. Well, now before they show up at your door, the government says, and we want them locked up when you have them.
Yeah, and I just want to make a note on that red flag law, that was pushed forward by some prominent Republicans. And that is very frustrating for me. I read that bill, and I thought, this is nuts. And we've got to have Republicans that stand for our Bill of Rights that do not that do not go after that. So let's do one more bill before we go to break, Kevin.
Okay, well, let me throw one thing out on the red flag bill, because there was a bill passed this year to actually cure a lot of the problems in the red flag bill. And, of course, it got killed. So there's some good folks, and they're primarily Republicans running some good bills. But let me give you another one. Senate Bill 256, allow counties and cities to ban concealed carry rights. This is the bill. You see, when we passed the concealed carry laws, and I remember I was a legislator back in 2003, Senate Bill 24 and Senate Bill 25 created concealed carry, and then it said it's a statewide issue, so no county can change this and say, well, we won't allow it in our county. Well, this bill, Senate Bill 256, that is now law, it's before the governor to sign. Maybe you signed it in the last few days and I haven't looked at it, but it will become law. Will allow individual counties to rescind, to not allow the concealed carry laws to be in effect. And so now you're going to have this patchwork system where you were carrying concealed, legal in your county, you cross the county line, and now you're illegal.
Oh, it's and my understanding is Boulder County is already jumping on this regard. I think maybe it was a different one. But this is clearly an assault on our Bill of Rights, which is in the Constitution of the United States of America. And
our safety. Yeah.
And our safety.
Yes, yes, yes.
Exactly. So, hey, Kevin Lundberg, this is going way too quickly. That's why we did three segments with you. But we're going to go to break. Before we do that, Hooters Restaurants is a great partner of mine. They have five locations. That's Westminster, Loveland, Aurora, Lone Tree, and Colorado Springs. Great place to get together with friends to just maybe not think about all this and just get together with friends and watch some sports. They've got specials, lunch specials, happy hour. Kids eat free on Saturdays if you buy an adult entree. So be sure and check out my website. Click on my sponsors tab. I highly recommend each and every one of those sponsors. Click on Hooters and it has all their specials there. We're going to go to break. We'll continue the conversation with Kevin Lundberg.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. Email me at Kim@KimMunson.com. And thank you to each and every one of you who contribute to keep our independent voice on the air as we search for truth and clarity through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. On the line with me is Kevin Lundberg, former state senator here in Colorado. He is the executive director of the Republican Study Committee. Kevin, we knew this was going to go fast. It seems like we just started the conversation and we only have about 11 minutes left. So where do you want to go on this now?
Well, there are so many different directions, but here's something that I think has kind of flown below the radar a bit. We hear at the national level of the Green New Deal. You know, AOC came out with this unbelievably radical plan where they want to transform things to try to eliminate all carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, basically. And there are so many levels we can talk about it.
And just a note, plants need carbon dioxide to thrive. So
yeah,
just
right.
just
yeah.
wanted to make that note.
Yeah. And not to mention the fact that you breathe, that you exhale it with every breath. But aside from that, here in Colorado, we're not immune from what's happened in the legislation concerning some of those things. So there are several bills and. That I identified that I think kind of tie in with that in a big way. I've got four bills down. One is 1162, where they're banning plastic bags to be used in a lot of stores. These are single-use bags. It's part of their rush towards cleaning up and clearing out the environment, so they think.
And I just want to make a note, those plastic bags, many people, so you go to the grocery store, you're a busy mom, and you go to the grocery store, and they basically say, if you want to have a bag to carry your stuff, well, I guess this is banning it, though, right? This is totally banning it. And so I guess they want
people. Is there
a fee? I can't remember.
I don't recall on that one. I know up in Fort Collins when they put it in place, there's a fee attached to it as well. And then it's only for the big stores, not the little stores. This is one that they put in place. But to just kind of move along to stay to the main theme is the Green New Deal invading Colorado? House Bill 1242 creates the Agricultural Drought and Climate Resilience Office.
Oh.
This is going to somehow create this whole new bureaucracy to be a problem for ag, mm-hmm. For farmers and ranchers in Colorado. And I can tell you that because I've got quite a background in that, that they roll their eyes in disbelief whenever the government gets in and tries to tell them how to effectively grow their crops and produce the food that we all need and eat. This one is...
That's a scary one. It's actually very scary.
Yeah. Yeah, it's setting up an expectation that in the future will really come back to haunt us all and the rural community in particular. Then House Bill 1303, the Global Warming Potential for Public Project Materials. So now every public project that will be... developed in Colorado, they're going to have to look at all of the materials and ask themselves, now, is that the best one to prevent global warming or not?
Gosh.
And
increasing the cost.
And I want to tell you that if you're an architect planning for a building, will you take into everything into account as to, you know, what works and doesn't work? And I like making things energy efficient and green if it's an appropriate fashion. I mean, I live in a house that's off the grid. You know, we run off solar energy for most everything we do around here. But this is just another layer of bureaucracy that will really lock in all of these things. And then the biggest one that really falls under the Green New Deal that we need to be aware of is Senate Bill 260. And that's the big transportation plan. Some people say, oh, more roads and highways. No. More bureaucracy, more rules to actually designed. The way I read the whole thing, it's designed to, if you have a car, it better be electric. And if you, but really, we want to get you out of your car entirely so that you're on public transportation instead. And I can tell you that may work if you live in Manhattan, parts of New York City, because it's pretty much a pedestrian place and cars are not very functional there. But in Colorado, we have a big state. We have to go a lot of directions. In the Denver metro area, you can travel for 40 or 50 miles and still not be out of the area. You need your car. 260 is to get you out of your car.
Kevin, freedom of mobility is something that is inherent for people to be able to pursue their happiness. And I used to go back to New York on a regular basis because I'd been in the fashion industry for many, many years. And of course, New York was one of the fashion hubs. And then I also had a family member that lived in New York for a while. And it got to a point, it would take so long to use public transportation or also to travel by car or taxi. Because it was expensive to take a taxi, you got to a point where my family member would only like date people in their, you know, in the geographic area. It limited your choices. It limited your employment. It limited all kinds of things being on public transportation. Freedom of mobility, freedom to have your car and go where you want to when you want to, is something that is a big part of a vibrant middle class.
Absolutely, and that's part of that fundamental transformation they're trying to impose upon us, where the world that we were born into here in Colorado will no longer be there. Instead, it's heavy centralized control from the top. I mean, it's just the full pattern for a socialist system, and the Colorado legislature and the Colorado governor, this is their plan. They plan on changing your life and making your, you know, future generations into a very different world. And it just goes on and on and on. And this year, in this legislature, they were as heavy-handed as possible. I spent 16 years down there. I never, never, ever, I mean, I saw some bad ideas come across our desk, but I never saw it with such volume. And with such abandon as well, because usually, you know, the majority party realizes, well, we can't go too far down this road because the people of Colorado are liable to reject what we did. Well, you know, it's like how you started the sections we're talking on here. They're acting like, well, we couldn't care less what the people think. because we're just going to jam it down their throats and say that's the way it's going to be.
Well, and that is why elections matter. And that's why this move by Secretary of State Jenna Griswold to prevent, as you said, the third party she's talking about is the people, to examine yeah. what this election was. Kevin, we've got just about a minute left. This has gone by quickly. Important information. I'd recommend that go to kevinlundberg.com and check out the Lundberg Report. You've done an amazing amount of research on this. What's your final thought to leave with our listeners today, Kevin?
Well, let me explain the Lundberg Report a little bit, because I used to send it out via email. And it would all be there. It'd hit your email box. You'd open it up, and you could click on the bills or the other ideas. But the cancel culture started hitting me about a year ago. I noticed that they were doing that. And it's gotten so bad that I can't rely on any email server to actually send out this information. They're liable to censor it. So I put it on my website directly. And it's a little more complicated that way, because I send out email reminders. You click on that, and then it goes to the page. But realize that if you go to kevinlundberg.com and click on, it's a couple of clicks away, but you get to the Lundberg Report, it's all there. And all of the back issues are there. And we need to know. And there are other good sources of information, but you're not going to know it unless you take a little bit of time to look and dig deep. And that's what I advise everyone to do, is to learn for yourself. Don't expect somebody else is going to know it all. All of us are just kind of piecing it together, and it's a big, big change that's being made to the people of Colorado. Don't let it happen.
Don't let it happen. Kevin Lundberg, thank you for all the great work that you do.
Thank you for letting me talk to yourself and all the listeners. It's always, always a very significant conversation that you bring to our attention.
Thank you, Kevin Lundberg. Our quote for today is from T.S. Eliot. He says, "Most of the trouble in the world is caused by people wanting to be important." So my friends today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.
KLZ AM HD Denver, AM 560 and 100.7 FM.